evening, everyone. It's great to be back in the studio, even if this chair still feels a bit warm from Rudolf Hucker's best wishes. We've got a packed studio tonight with most of our usual presenters, plus a special appearance by Mr. Galnet Digest himself, Commander Witherspoon. Good evening to you, Commander.
Good evening, Dick. It's lovely to be here in person, even if it is just slightly past my bedtime.
And always a great pleasure for us as well. Rudolf Hucker's away this week, fuel scooping near a warm star, but I have the usual gang of miscreants and marvels. We have Harry Balzac.
Hi, Dick.
The dulcet tones of Amelia.
You say the nicest things, Dick.
And of course, our pair of snuckers, the lovely Norma.
Good evening.
And the... Is that how you spell wayward? It's got an N and a... Wayward Lou.
Thank you, Mr. Chafing, sir.
You're very welcome. Now, for the headlines.
Is Hutton Orbital Farg the Mighty's biggest threat?
Cow catastrophe risk removed as rat rescue realised.
Elephantine flock of type 6s return to the bubble after mammoth migration.
Special effects systems get an overlay to Overwatch.
No bickies left. Tea going undunked.
Atrus 5060 is enjoying the rest of his rest.
Mollusk Man's last event.
Lou's back. Let's hope he's up to the job.
It's Thursday, and Norma wonders if asteroid time for a new base.
The Mighty, the multi-limbed destroyer of worlds, or rather stations and not so much a destroyer as a disabler, has always planned new attacks to take place exactly one Earth week apart, and this has allowed plenty of time for Hutton Orbital Radio to be able to broadcast the locations of said attacks during our bulletin. Our brave Haxwing commanders have week after week taken the advice that we have given out and beaten Tharg and his minions, forcing him to come up with a new tactic. A few weeks ago, there was a last-minute change to the Thargoid attack locations, and the Eagle Eye Network did not pick this up until just before our broadcast, forcing us to issue an amendment. This seems to have given Tharg a new plan, and after mulling it over for a couple of weeks, he launched his mighty offensive on a Friday. Pilots out in the black who rely on Hutton Orbital for their hacks news are now at a disadvantage, as Tharg now has 6 days to press home his attacks before our bulletin. It is possible that this new tactic may just be an experiment, as Tharg has chosen to infest only unoccupied systems thus far. One other popular theory is that, in common with many other species, Thargoids are on their annual summer holidays, and that the so-called infestation is nothing more than Thargoid families enjoying the sunlight, wearing splurge-me-quick hats and licking chilled escape pods as they take a few days away from the daily grind of attacking humans. Anti-Xeno pilots are urged to be vigilant, to keep up the date with the Eagle Eye Network, and to watch out for long tailbacks on the galactic highways when the summer season ends.
Commander Psycho Cow, proud winner of the most chips lost in one day competition 3 years running, came perilously close to winning a second award today, when he awoke in his cow-skinned Type 9 to find he'd left the engine running for 2 whole days. With an oops, he realised he was still 288 light seconds from the main star in Lave. His fuel was almost exhausted and his ship had 6% hull. Blaming his situation on the last system he jumped out of, instead of on the last bottle he'd opened. He managed to get to 108 light seconds before his Remlock activated, leaving him with only 6 minutes of life support. As the AA were busy rescuing the crew of the Red Dwarf, Cow lit the rat signal and prepared to wait. Flossie, our own in-house fuel rat, tried to lead the charge. But she was in the wrong ship, at the wrong place, at the wrong time, 5 jumps away from her rescue ship. The might of the Fuel Rat organization swung into action, and the mischief of Fuel Rats, consisting of Commanders Zerit, Flynnzilla, and Ravenoff, were soon on hand, efficiently transferring fuel. And a mere 15 minutes after placing the call, Commander Psycho Cow was refueled and left to go on his way, with a mind how you go, and remember to switch the engine off next time, as the Fuel Rats returned to... probably eating Snickers bars.
Ship spotters gathered at Lave Station last night with their binoculars at the ready to welcome Hutton's Type 6s back from their long migration to the Galactic Core and back. Traditionally heralding the start of autumn, the little fellas returned with battered paintwork from their long journey and settled outside the station. They gathered together before heading inside and returning to roost at the landing pad they hadn't seen in over a month. Once nested, the preening and feeding began. Exploration data was regurgitated, fuel was imbibed, and the old plant paint made way for beautiful new plumage. With all of this care and attention, the strength soon returned to their modules, and they ventured outside to watch for stragglers. Spotters noticed that neither of the two T6 GTIs, often mistaken for keelbacks, seemed to have survived the arduous trip, and many fear that, hampered by those stubby little thrusters, they might not have made it all the way through the migration. There was no sign either of the large anaconda which had shadowed the flock through the early stages of their trip. It is believed that the anaconda's instinct for exploration took over, whereupon it set course for the far galactic rim. Who knows if it will return to Lave, or if it will glide through the remote corners of the Milky Way in search of a mate. Our little friends have seen so much. Black holes, nebulae, and more neutron stars than you can shake a stick at. After their seemingly pointless trip out, they roosted at Fort Mug and Explorers Anchorage before embarking on their long journey home, passing water worlds, the odd Earth-like, and even a glowing green grass giant. Their unerring homing instincts returned them to the bubble and the nestling grounds of Lave. When you are next out and about in the bubble, keep an eye out for these common little trading ships, and if you spot one, spare a thought for their resilience and the enormous distances they travel, having to overcome their dual burden of both looking alike and having the handling characteristics of a house brick.
As a respite from listening to Hutton Orbital Radio last week, Commander Sinrain of Special Effects Systems, the organisation that helps anyone to become a pilot, no matter what number or types of limbs they have, met with Commander Overlight to do some exploring of a nearby constellation. The Plough, to be exact. The nearest constellation to their home systems, and coincidentally a place that just happened to sell beer. After spending much of the evening depleting the market of much of said commodity, the two commanders paused just long enough for the event to be recorded for posterity with an 0770 salute.
During a recent update flight systems, Tireless Update Engineer Del Leachikeys found himself unusually peckish. However, on his routine coffee cup refill and quick bicky binge, he found the barrel to be bereft of sustenance. His Bicky barrel was devoid of Bickies. Apparently, when he'd sent the request for a restock of Bickies, he had forgotten to remind the cook to back up his control logs, which led to a rather embarrassing situation where the poor cook could not work out what code key combination unlocked the Bicky barrel. After many hours of trying, he stormed off, depositing the crumbly morsels into the local dusty recycling port. Due to lack of energy provided by these spectacular mug companions, poor Dell had no choice but to work through the pain and gurgles of unrequited snackage. So please remember, truckers, whenever Dell is about, make sure you've backed up your bindings. Follow the key map code. 1. Grab the custom keybind file once you have perfected it. 2. Rename it. 3. Edit the second line to give it a name. For example, Bicky. 4. Put a copy somewhere safe, then always choose the Bicky in the menu rather than custom, as custom can also be auto-overwritten. Where are these files, you say? In your app data folder. Local, Frontier Developments, Elite Dangerous, Options, Bindings. Now do it before Dell gets a hold of your bindings.
Good evening, trackers. Adris 5060 here. Once again, there's no news about the Thargoids because Tharg is at home, sulking about Galnet. He's gone in the hunger strike and is refusing to scoff escape pods until it's brought back online. There are two things he can't do without. Ammonia Avenue, his daily dose of caustic soap, and Galnet's Loose Humans daytime TV. As the only systems currently being reported by Eagle Eye are uninhabited, so remember Commander Falco Took's advice. If you are looking to get a Goid Heart for the new Bobblehead, you can find NHSS in pretty much any system in the Pleiades, or WH, region. Remember, if you're up for a break from combat, Operation Ida can also use a hand hauling repair supplies. So keep up the good work, truckers, for the mug!
Short Engineer 78, our very own Daniel Tiberius Topham, has decided to hang up his event organizing hat and head out into the black to commune with his people, the Space Mollusks. The Great T6 Migration was his Hutton event organizing swan song. If you've been to a Hutton event in the last year or so, the chances are that it was one led and been arranged by Short Engineer. He started organizing events in 3304 to stave off boredom and the inevitable bouts of space madness with which many of us are all too familiar. His Hotbox Prods series of events soon became Hutton Prods once the non-Hotbox guys saw the fun we were having. Hotbox loves a screenshot. Due to Dan's tireless efforts, Hutton commanders have prodded and inappropriately touched everything, from Thargoid attacked bases. Ask Commander Revelo about that one. Inara bases, Voyager probes, the Zurara, and even had an SRV race at Beagle Point. It was during his return from Beagle Point in a hauler that he had an accident which caused him to be ejected into the cold darkness of space, where the space mollusks cocooned him in a resin egg, splicing in their DNA with his human genes to create the first human space mollusk hybrid. He has stayed with us for as long as he could, but he's heard the call of his people, and once the siren song of the space mollusks has been heard by one of their own, it cannot be ignored. He must go with them now, and be free among the stars, whilst we poor humans cling to the motes of dust we know as planets, afraid to let go and drift into the inky blackness. Dan will be back to visit though. He says space mollusk conversation only really revolves around feeding grounds and floating, which can get a bit tedious after a while. Look out for him in the depths of space. He'll be the guy with no remlock, a tentacle beard, and an enthusiastic wave. 07, Commander.
Before we hear from Lou, Hutton Orbital Radio would like to take a moment to reassure our listener. As you will probably know, Lou Snockers could not be with us last week. This meant that we required someone else to fill the very small gap in the show left by his absence. Amelia volunteered for this duty and was rather amazing in this role. So much so that we were a little reluctant to let him back in. It's a complex job looking at the states of all of our systems and what effect we're having, then turning that into a concise set of instructions. At least we presume that it's complex, since Lou hasn't managed to do that yet. We were worried that after a week's absence, Lou might be getting a little rusty, so we decided to set him a test. Here is the result of Lou Snocker's audition, recorded today, 15th of August, 3305.
Hello? Hello? Hey.
Is this thing on? Is
it? Bloody hell. They, move my seat, move my microphone. God knows what else she changed while she was in my... Just the hair. It'll take ages to find things now. You miss 1 week and this is what happens. Good evening. Here is the news read by Lou Snockers. No, that's not right. Start again. Alvin's keeping out of George's pants as he's in a state of... Sorry, I'm sure I used to be able to do this, but Norma usually gives me a hand. I mean, she helps me getting it up for broadcasting. It's starting to come back to me. There's a post-it note that says LHS 340. I'm sure that rings a bell somewhere. Well, I'm back in the chair, I've got everything adjusted, and I think I've got all the stray hairs removed. Good job, Norman Oves, it was Amelia sat here last week. I'd be in all sorts of trouble covered in long black hairs. We have some over 60s to look after this week. That's systems, not presenters. If you survive to that age in this game, you do not need looking after. So, if we can focus on working against HOT in Luton 145-141, LHS 340 and WISE 0855-0714, please. If you want to work for HOT, please only do so in systems below 50%. Now, lists are boring and you all know where to look. hot.forthemug.com. King Hankey sent me about a dozen pages of stats for Colonia, but that was quite dull, so I shall summarise with... Hot work in all of our systems in Colonia, but please only hand it in at Dola Depot in Tier. It's fairly short and sweet this week because someone has misplaced my tablet and replaced it with a pegboard and alphabet bobbleheads, and they're not easy to make notes with. Over to Norma.
The Fortunes Corsairs faction has organised an initiative to transport food commodities to the Shamas system as part of a fundraising event to greenlight the construction of a new asteroid base. Find out how you can help with this later.